Chapter 12. Her head. I lonely touch him with my hand, and go to sleep. Oh, pray, pray, let me lie by my brother tonight, for I believe he's fond of me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Richards took her without a word, and carrying her to the little bed in which the infant was sleeping, laid her down by his side. She crept as near him as she could without disturbing his rest, and stretching out one arm, so that it timidly embraced his neck, and hiding her face on the other, over which her damp and scattered hair fell loose, lay motionless. Poor little thing, apostrophe said Miss Tox. She has been dreaming, I dare say. Apostrophe, dreaming, perhaps, of loving tones forever silent, of loving eyes forever closed, of loving arms again wound round her, and relaxing in that dream within the dam which no tongue can relate. Seeking, perhaps in dreams some natural comfort for a heart, deeply and sorely wounded, though so young a child's. And finding it, perhaps, in dreams, if not in waking, cold, substantial truth. This trivial incident had so interrupted the current of conversation, that it was difficult of resumption, and Mrs. Chick moreover had been so affected by the contemplation of her own tolerant nature, that she was not in spirits. The two friends accordingly soon made an end of their tea, and a servant was dispatched to fetch a hackney cabriolet for Miss Tox. Miss Tox had great experience in hackney cabs, and her starting in one was generally a work of time, as she was systematic in the preparatory arrangements. Have the goodness, if you please, Towlinson, apostrophe said Miss Tox, first of all, to carry out a pen and ink and take his number legibly. Apostrophe, yes, miss, apostrophe said Towlinson. Then, if you please, Towlinson, said Miss Tox, have the goodness to turn the cushion. Which, apostrophe said Miss Tox apart to Mrs. Chick, is generally damp, my dear. Apostrophe, yes, miss, apostrophe said Towlinson. I'll trouble you also, if you please, Towlinson, apostrophe said Miss Tox, with this card and this shilling. He's to drive to the card, and is to understand that he will not on any account have more than the shilling. Apostrophe, no, miss, apostrophe said Towlinson. And I'm sorry to give you so much trouble, Towlinson, apostrophe said Miss Tox, looking at him pensively. Not at all, miss, apostrophe said Towlinson. Mention to the man, then, if you please, Towlinson, apostrophe said Miss Tox, that the lady's uncle is a magistrate, and that if he gives her any of his impertinence he will be punished terribly. You can pretend to say that, if you please, Towlinson, in a friendly way, and because you know it was done to another man, who died. Apostrophe, certainly, miss, apostrophe said Towlinson. And now good night to my sweet, 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 godson, apostrophe said Miss Tox, with a soft shower of kisses at each repetition of the adjective. And Louia, my dear friend, promise me to take a little something warm before you go to bed, and not to distress yourself. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it was with extreme difficulty that Nipper, the black-eyed, who looked on steadfastly, contained herself at this crisis, and until the subsequent departure of Mrs. Chick. But the nursery being at length free of visitors, she made herself some recompense for her late restraint. You might keep me in a strait waistcoat for 6 weeks, apostrophe said Nipper, and when I got it off I'd only be more aggravated. Whoever heard the like of them two griffins, Mrs. Richards? Apostrophe, apostrophe, and then, to talk of having been dreaming, poor dear. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Polly. Oh, you beauties. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Susan Nipper, affecting to salute the door by which the ladies had departed. Never be a dummy, won't she? It's to be hoped she won't. We don't want any more such ones enough. Apostrophe, don't wake the children, Susan dear, apostrophe, said Polly. I'm very much beholden to you, Mrs. Richards, apostrophe said Susan, who was not by any means discriminating in her wrath, and really feel it as an honor to receive your commands, being a black slave and a muleteer. Mrs. Richards, if there's any other orders you can give me, pray mention 'em. Apostrophe, nonsense. Orders, apostrophe, said Polly. Oh, bless your heart, Mrs. Richards, apostrophe, cried Susan. Temporary's always orders, permanency's here. Didn't you know that? Why, wherever was you born, Mrs. Richards? But wherever you was born, Mrs. Richards, apostrophe, pursued Spitfire, shaking her head resolutely, and whenever, and however, which is best known to yourself, you may bear in mind, please, that it's one thing to give orders, and quite another thing to take 'em. A person may tell a person to dive off a bridge head foremost into 5 and 40 feet of water, Mrs. Richards, but a person may be very far from diving. Apostrophe, there now, apostrophe, said Polly, you're angry because you're a good little thing, and fond of Miss Florence, and yet you turned round on me, because there's nobody else. Apostrophe, it's very easy for some to keep their tempers, and be soft-spoken, Mrs. Richards, apostrophe, returned Susan, slightly mollified, when their child's made as much of as a prince, and is petted and patted till it wishes its friends further, but when a sweet young pretty innocent, that never ought to have a cross word spoken to her of it, is run down, the case is very different indeed. My goodness gracious me, Miss Floy, you naughty, sinful child, if you don't shut your eyes this minute, I'll call in them hobgoblins that lives in the cock loft to come and eat you up alive. Apostrophe, apostrophe, here Miss Nipper made a horrible lowing, supposed to issue from a conscientious goblin of the bull species, impatient to discharge the severe duty of his position. Having further composed her young charge, by covering her head with the bedclothes, and making 3 or 4 angry dabs at the pillow, she folded her arms, and screwed up her mouth, and sat looking at the fire for the rest of the evening. Though little Paul was said, in nursery phrase, to take a deal of notice for his age, apostrophe, he took as little notice of all this, as of the preparations for his christening on the next day but one, which nevertheless went on about him, as to his personal apparel, and that of his sister and the 2 nurses, with great activity. Neither did he, on the arrival of the appointed morning, show any sense of its importance, being, on the contrary, unusually inclined to sleep, and unusually inclined to take it ill in his attendance, that they dressed him to go out. It happened to be an iron gray autumnal day, with a shrewd east wind blowing a day in keeping with the proceedings. Mr. Dombey represented in himself the wind, the shade, and the autumn of the christening. He stood in his library to receive the company, as hard and cold as the weather, and when he looked out through the glass room, at the trees, in the little garden, their brown and yellow leaves came fluttering down, as if he blighted them. Ugh! They were black, cold rooms, and seemed to be in mourning, like the inmates of the house. The books precisely matched as to size, and drawn up in line, like soldiers, looked in their cold, hard, slippery uniforms, as if they had but one idea among them, and that was a freezer. The bookcase, glazed and locked, repudiated all familiarities. Mr. Pitt, in bronze, on the top, with no trace of his celestial origin about him, guarded the unattainable treasure like an enchanted moor. A moldy urn at each high corner, dug up from an ancient tomb, preached desolation and decay, as from 2 pulpits, and the chimney glass, reflecting Mr. Dombey and his portrait at one blow, seemed fraught with melancholy meditations. The stiff and stark fire irons appeared to claim a nearer relationship than anything else there to Mr. Dombey, with his buttoned coat, his white cravat, his heavy gold watch chain, and his creaking boots. But this was before the arrival of Mr. and Mrs. Chick, his lawful relatives, who soon presented themselves. My dear Paul, apostrophe, Mrs. Chick murmured, as she embraced him, the beginning, I hope, of many joyful days. Apostrophe, apostrophe, thank you, Louia, apostrophe, said Mr. Dombey, grimly. How do you do, Mr. John? Apostrophe, apostrophe, how do you do, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Chick. He gave Mr. Domney his hand, as if he feared it might electrify him. Mr. Domney tool. It as if it were a fish, or seaweed, or some such clammy substance, and immediately returned it to him with exalted politeness. Perhaps, Louis, apostrophe said Mr. Domney, slightly turning his head in his cravat, as if it were a socket, you would have preferred a fire? Apostrophe apostrophe, oh, my dear Paul, no, apostrophe said Mrs. Chick, who had much ado to keep her teeth from chattering, not for me. Apostrophe, Mr. John, apostrophe said Mr. Domney, you are not sensible of any chill? Apostrophe, Mr. John, who had already got both his hands in his pockets over the wrists, and was on the very threshold of that same canine chorus which had given Mrs. Chick so much offense on a former occasion, protested that he was perfectly comfortable. He added in a low voice, with my tittle told to a roll, when he was providentially stopped by Towlinson, who announced, Miss Tox. Apostrophe apostrophe, and enter that fair enslaver, with a blue nose and indescribably frosty face, referable to her being very thinly clad in a maze of fluttering odds and ends, to do honor to the ceremony. How do you do, Miss Tox? Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Domney. Miss Tox, in the midst of her spreading gauzes, went down altogether like an opera glass shutting up. She curtsied so low, in acknowledgement of Mr. Domney's advancing a step or two to meet her. I can never forget this occasion, sir, apostrophe said Miss Tox, softly. 'Tis impossible. My dear Louis, I can hardly believe the evidence of my senses. Apostrophe, if Miss Tox could believe the evidence of one of her senses, it was a very cold day. That was quite clear. She took an early opportunity of promoting the circulation in the tip of her nose by secretly chafing it with her pocket handkerchief, lest, by its very low temperature, it should disagreeably astonish the baby when she came to kiss it. The baby soon appeared, carried in great glory by Richards, while Florence, in custody of that active young constable, Susan Nipper, brought up the rear. Though the whole nursery party were dressed by this time in lighter mourning than at first, there was enough in the appearance of the bereaved children to make the day no brighter. The baby, too, it might have been Miss Tox's nose, began to cry, thereby, as it happened, preventing Mr. Chick from the awkward fulfillment of a very honest purpose he had, which was to make much of Florence. For this gentleman, insensible to the superior claims of a perfect Domney, perhaps on account of having the honor to be united to a Domney himself, and being familiar with excellence, really liked her, and showed that he liked her, and was about to show it in his own way now, when Paul cried, and his helpmate stopped him short, "Now, Florence, child!" Apostrophe apostrophe said her aunt, briskly, "What are you doing, love? Show yourself to him. Engage his attention, my dear." Apostrophe, the atmosphere became, or might have become, colder and colder, when Mr. Domney stood frigidly watching his little daughter, who, clapping her hands, and standing on tiptoe before the throne of his son and heir, lured him to bend down from his high estate, and look at her. Some honest act of Richard's may have aided the effect, but he did look down, and held his peace. As his sister hid behind her nurse, he followed her with his eyes, and when she peeped out with a merry cry to him, he sprang up and crowed lustily, laughing outright, when she ran in upon him, and seeming to fondle her curls with his tiny hands, while she smothered him with kisses. Was Mr. Domney pleased to see this? He testified no pleasure by the relaxation of a nerve, but outward tokens of any kind of feeling were unusual with him. If any sunbeam stole into the room, to light the children at their play, it never reached his face. He looked on so fixedly and coldly, that the warm light vanished even from the laughing eyes of little Florence, when, at last, they happened to meet his. It was a dull, gray, autumn day indeed, and in a minute's pause and silence that took place, the leaves fell sorrowfully. Mr. John, apostrophe said Mr. Domney, referring to his watch, and assuming his hat and gloves. Take my sister, if you please. My arm today is Miss Tox's. You had better go first with Master Paul, Richards. Be very careful. Apostrophe in Mr. Dombey's carriage. Dombey and son, Miss Tox, Mrs. Chick, Richards, and Florence. In a little carriage following it, Susan Nipper and the younger Mr. Chick. Susan looking out of window, without intermission, as a relief from the embarrassment of confronting the large face of that gentleman, and thinking whenever anything rattled, that he was putting up in paper an appropriate pecuniary compliment for herself. Once upon the road to church, Mr. Dombey clapped his hands for the amusement of his son. At which instance of parental enthusiasm Miss Tox was enchanted. But exclusive of this incident, the chief difference between the christening party and a party in a mourning coach consisted in the colors of the carriage and horses. Arrived at the church steps, they were received by a portentous beadle. Apostrophe Mr. Dombey dismounting first to help the ladies out, and standing near him at the church door, looked like another beadle. A beadle less gorgeous but more dreadful, the beadle of private life, the beadle of our business and our bosoms. Miss Tox's hand trembled as she slipped it through Mr. Dombey's arm, and felt herself escorted up the steps, preceded by a cocked hat and a Babylonian collar. It seemed for a moment like that other solemn institution, wilt thou have this man, Lucretia? Apostrophe apostrophe yes, I will. Apostrophe, please to bring the child in quick out of the air there, apostrophe whispered the beadle, holding open the inner door of the church. Little Paul might have asked with Hamlet into my grave? Apostrophe apostrophe so chill and earthy was the place. The tall shrouded pulpit and reading desk, the dreary perspective of empty pews stretching away under the galleries, and empty benches mounting to the roof, and lost in the shadow of the great grim organ. The moldy matting, and cold stone slabs, the grisly free seats in the aisles, and the damp corner by the bell rope, where the black trestles used for funerals were stowed away, along with some shovels and baskets, and a coil or two of deadly-looking rope, the strange unusual uncomfortable smell, and the cadaverous light, were all in unison. It was a cold and dismal scene. There's a wedding just on, sir, apostrophe said the beadle, but it'll be over directly, if you'll walk into the vestry here. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.